Welcome to the Voice of America in Mandarin.
这里是美国之音的中文广播。现在就开始今天下午六个小时的中文节目。
各位听众好，今天是2016年11月3号星期四。现在是北京时间下午5点，下面为您播报国际新闻。美国总统奥巴马表示，他相信如果唐纳德·川普当选总统，共和国将面临危险。奥巴马星期三在重要的摇摆州北卡莱罗纳州为希拉里·克林顿站台助选。他说，他在2008年和2012年大选中从来没有觉得如果他输给了共和党对手麦凯恩或罗姆尼，共和国将面临危险。奥巴马总统告诉北卡莱罗纳州选民不要松懈，不要认为自己手中的选票没用。北卡最新的民调显示，川普比克林顿略微领先。川普星期三在佛罗里达州竞选，他说奥巴马总统应该停止为希拉里·克林顿助选，回到白宫为美国创造就业，解决边境问题。他还抨击希拉里·克林顿电邮是水门事件以来最大的丑闻。对于联邦调查局决定重新调查他的电邮，克林顿回应说这个案件根本不成立。恶劣天气星期三阻碍了联军进攻被伊斯兰国占领的重镇摩苏尔的脚步，同时一家援助机构警告说，随着摩苏尔的战斗加剧，当地平民陷入巨大的危险之中。挪威难民理事会的格雷斯曼说，我们正为最坏的可能做准备，120万平民的性命正处于极度危险之中，整个伊拉克的未来也处在千钧一发之际。这一援助组织表示，数以千计的平民已经逃离摩苏尔，还有很多平民被狙击手和爆炸物夺去了性命。仍在城中的百姓面临着食品、饮用水和医药短缺的困境。该组织认为，摩苏尔城的战事会让补给物资及其他人道主义救援更难进入城内，因此城内居民会面临更加严重的物资短缺。伊拉克特种部队星期二已经攻入摩苏尔城市郊，收复这座伊拉克第二大城市的战斗在两个星期前打响。摩苏尔被伊斯兰国组织占领已有2年多。五角大楼发言人戴维斯说，这是非常重要的里程碑，但仍需继续努力。五角大楼说，伴随伊拉克军队和库尔德敢死军的美军离摩苏尔前线只有不到2公里。他说，在摩苏尔周边村庄，伊斯兰国的顽抗程度各有所不同。不过他警告说，不管伊斯兰国武装分子是逃跑还是抵抗，联军总是要应对土制炸弹的遗留问题。他说，最多仍有5000名伊斯兰国战斗人员仍然聚守在摩苏尔城内。美国联邦储备委员会决定将银行利率保持在近一年来的极度低水平。美联储说，美国就业市场继续好转，家庭消费在上升，但是企业投资疲软。美联储在书面声明中说，提高利率的势头越来越强，但是美联储仍需进一步的证据才会决定提高利率。通货膨胀率有所上升，不过仍低于经济学家所说的对经济最有利的 2%。美联储在经济衰退期间为了促进经济将利率降至创纪录的低水平。去年美联储将利率略微提高，但仍然处于不同寻常的低水平。美国执法部门说，密西西比州一个非洲裔美国人教堂被纵火后涂上投川普一票，他们要把此案作为民权侵犯案件来调查。这家111年历史的浸礼会教堂在密西西比州格林维尔星期二夜间被纵火，教堂受到损害。该市市长西蒙斯星期三说，我们认为这是一起仇恨案件，由于其中的政治信息，我们相信作案者是要干扰祈祷活动，恐吓选民。巴基斯坦港口城市卡拉奇星期四早晨发生火车相撞事件。卡拉奇的医院已经确认有11人死亡，50人受伤。当地媒体说，卡拉奇暂时停止了火车的运行。国际新闻播报完了。
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Moore. Welcome to Functioning in Business.
听众朋友们好，我是杨晨。欢迎收听商务通英语。
Functioning in Business is an intermediate level business English course with a focus on American business practices and culture.
商务通英语是中等程度的商务英语课程。课程题材以美国的商务实践和文化为主，通过电台播音室里的采访和绘画讲授美国英语。今天我们复习本星期的课程，第一课的题目是意见分歧第四部分，重点学习表示不同意见的语言。首先是电话访谈，Mike Epstein 先生在加州圣何塞市的办公室接受我们的电话采访，谈他同 Graham 女士的工作关系。
We're talking again with Mike Epstein. He's in his office in San Jose, California.
Hello, Elizabeth.
Hello, Mike. Welcome back. Today we're going to discuss your relationship with Ms. Graham. How would you describe your relationship with her?
We had a fairly good working relationship.
Yes, but there was a rough spot, wasn't there?
Yes, I was upset that she didn't want to buy robots from International Robotics. I thought she was being too conservative. I had spent a lot of time on research, and I knew their robots were the best.
Let's listen to part of that conversation again.
I don't feel I can afford to take the risk.
Oh, but what have I been doing for the last year?I've been looking for the new technology to really make this factory something special, and I think that this is what we need to do. I can't understand why you disagree with this. It's very clear.
And I think you've done a very good job. But I think that there are more disadvantages than advantages. I'm sorry, Mike, but I'm afraid that the decision just isn't going to go your way.
接下来 ,Epstein 先生继续和我们谈他同 Graham 女士的关系。
Mike, let's talk a little more about your relationship with Ms. Graham.
Well, that was the low point, obviously. I actually admire her a great deal, though I think she's too conservative.
What do you think are her strengths?
Well, she has an amazing ability to analyze information.And she is very good at making the right decision in tough situations.
Like the robot deal.
Well, in that one case, I think she was wrong. In that situation, we needed to take a risk in order to buy the best. Without the best technology, our company can't be a leader in our industry.
Mike, thanks for talking to us today.
I was glad to talk to you again, and if you're ever in San Jose...
I'll be sure to drop in and see you.
文化点滴。
Welcome once again to Culture Tips with Gary Angleton. Today, our email question is, why do CEOs of big corporations earn so much?
Well, it's mostly because of the pressure to increase sales and profits. The chief executive officer is the leader of the company and is responsible for most major decisions.If the CEO has good ideas and experience, the company may make a lot of money.
That makes sense.
But if the CEO is weak or makes bad decisions, the company may lose money. That's why the stockholders would rather pay a lot more for a good CEO. In addition, some CEOs work 60 or 70 hours per week.
Really?
Yes, and they might not take vacations.There is so much pressure to increase sales and produce big profits that the CEO can't be absent often.
That must be hard on their families.
I would think so. And if sales decrease, the CEO may be fired very quickly.
I guess the high salary does make sense. Thanks, Gary, for the information.
商务对话一家建筑公司董事会的两位董事在一起开会，挑选一位新的首席执行官。
Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
Sue, we can't hire Amy Johnstone. She has no experience leading a company.
I don't agree, Sam. She was president of Jackson Supplies for 6 years.
That company is very small. And she has no experience in international sales.
But what about her position at Global Construction Incorporated? She was head of sales in Latin America.
That's true. But didn't they go bankrupt?
That wasn't her fault. The quality of their products was really poor.
I don't think that's true. They had a terrible marketing plan.
Oh, I disagree. They had some very creative ideas.
But does she have the ability to lead us?
Well, our main problems are in marketing and sales. Those are her strong areas.
I really can't accept that.
Look, this discussion isn't going anywhere. Let's talk to Mary. She's in sales, and she worked with Amy Johnstone at Jackson Supplies. Maybe she'll be able to help us decide.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Gary 提示，谈如何表达意见分歧。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Angleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking about disagreement. In today's business dialogue, Sam and Sue disagree about hiring Amy Johnstone as CEO. Sue uses the simple expression, I don't agree, and gives her reason.
Sue, we can't hire Amy Johnstone. She has no experience leading a company.
I don't agree, Sam. She was president of Jackson Supplies for 6 years.
When you disagree, it is important to explain why you disagree. Later in the conversation, Sue raises another point of disagreement by saying, But what about...
And she has no experience in international sales.
But what about her position at Global Construction Incorporated? She was head of sales in Latin America.
As Sam and Sue continue their disagreement, their language becomes stronger and more emotional.
That wasn't her fault. The quality of their products was really poor.
I don't think that's true. They had a terrible marketing plan.
Oh, I disagree. They had some very creative ideas.
Sue and Sam know each other well. So they can be direct in their disagreement. Ms. Graham and Mr. Epstein have a more formal relationship. When Ms. Graham expresses her disagreement with Mr. Epstein, she uses a more indirect expression.
I'm sorry, Mike, but I'm afraid that the decision just isn't going to go your way.
In most business discussions, it is best to use polite forms of disagreement, such as, I'm afraid I don't agree. I hope today's tips were helpful.
本星期第二课的题目是意见分歧第五部分，重点学习使用同意和不同意的语句。首先是电话访谈， Epstein 先生在电话上谈他和 Graham 女士的意见分歧。
Today, Mike Epstein is calling from his office in San Jose, California. Hello, Mr. Epstein.
Hello.
Today, we are going to listen to more of your discussion with Ms. Graham.
Oh, yes. I was sure that Shirley was wrong about international robotics. My last chance was to delay the decision until we heard Charles's final proposal. I was hoping that he would come up with a solution to the parts storage problem.
Okay, let's listen to that part of the conversation.
I can't understand why you disagree with this. It's very clear.
And I think you've done a very good job. But I think that there are more disadvantages than advantages. I'm sorry, Mike, but I'm afraid that the decision just isn't going to go your way.
But what about his report tomorrow? Shouldn't we listen to his final proposal before we make a decision?
Oh, you're probably right. I want to be fair to him.
So do I.
这一节我们继续同 Epstein 先生进行访谈。
Mr. Epstein, let's talk about that discussion. You succeeded in delaying the decision.
Yes, I did. I knew that Shirley would want to be fair to International Robotics.
How did you know that?
Well, I worked with her for a long time. She was always very reasonable.
So she was easy to work with?
Most of the time she was very easy to work with. This was the only time we had such a strong disagreement. We got along quite well.
Mr. Epstein, thank you again for being on the show.
Glad to help out.
Welcome once again to Culture Tips with Gary Engleton. Today, our email question is, why do American managers expect such fast responses? They want emails, faxes, and phone calls. It drives me crazy.
American managers demand instant communication to speed up their business. As we said before, companies want to keep one step ahead of the competition. Top executives work 60 or 70 hours per week. Executives may need an important piece of information at 11 o'clock at night. They don't want to wait until the next morning to get it. They want it right away.
So whoever has the information is going to get a late-night phone call.
Yes, and if they are asleep, they had better wake up fast. Top executives often call their office every day, even when they are on vacation.
That's awful.
I agree completely, but some people like that kind of pressure. I have a cellular phone, and I'm starting to hate it.
Why is that?
Your private life disappears.
I would hate that. I need some private time every day.
Me too. Here, why don't you take my cell phone?
No thanks. I'd rather keep my life. Thanks for your interesting information, Gary.
You're welcome. Call me anytime you need more.
Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
I think we should hire John Hart. He has 10 years of experience and he's 35 years old, quite mature. What do you think?
I don't agree. I think we should hire Kevin Ward. He's much better educated and very bright.
Yes, he does have an MBA degree, but he doesn't have any real job experience.
That's true, but Mr. Hart has only 4 years' experience in sales.
Yes, that's a good point. Maybe we need more information. Let's talk with them both again.
Do you really think that's necessary? A second interview is a good idea, but I don't think we have the time. I think we really have to decide today.
Well, I agree. Time is a problem. But this new position is very important. We can wait one more day. Would you mind calling them back?
All right. I'll try to schedule them both for tomorrow afternoon.
Gary 提示，讨论如何表达同意和不同意的观点。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Engleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking again about agreeing and disagreeing. In today's business dialogue, we can hear examples of polite disagreement. In this conversation, notice how an expression of agreement, such as, that's true, is followed by but.
I think we should hire Kevin Ward. He's much better educated and very bright.
Yes, he does have an MBA degree, but he doesn't have any real job experience.
That's true, but Mr. Hart has only 4 years' experience in sales.
We see this same pattern of agreement and disagreement later in the conversation.
A second interview is a good idea, but I don't think we have the time. I think we really have to decide today.
Well, I agree. Time is a problem. But this new position is very important. We can wait one more day.
In business discussions, it is a good approach to begin with a point of agreement before bringing up your disagreement. I hope today's tips were helpful.
本星期第三课的题目是意见分歧第六部分，重点学习表示同意和妥协的语句。首先是分析讨论，我们要把 Epstein 先生和 Graham 女士的那次谈话完整的听一遍。我们的商务语言专家 Gary 对这段谈话进行了分析评论。
I'm here with Gary Angleton. Today we will listen to the entire conversation between Mr. Epstein and Ms. Graham.
Where Mr. Epstein disagrees so strongly with Ms. Graham.
Yes. Do you think that Ms. Graham handles herself well in this conversation?
Yes, I think she does. Notice how she clearly points out the basis for their disagreement, that Mr. Epstein wants to take a risk, but that she is not willing to take that risk. And she tells Mr. Epstein that he has done a very good job, even though she disagrees with his conclusion.
What about Mr. Epstein? How does he handle the situation?
Well, he does get pretty upset. He has spent a year looking for the best technology, and now Ms. Graham won't accept his recommendation. He thinks he's been wasting his time.
Let's listen again to the conversation.
Yes, in China. The quality of their product is extremely good, but I don't know anything about their reliability. Can they be relied on to do this by October 1st? You know, we've worked with United Industries before. I think we should just go ahead on the deal with them. I feel sure that they can have everything installed and working by October 1st.
Well, look, but there's another argument, Shirley. I agree with you, they haven't established themselves in the States, but that's an advantage. We can get their technology before other companies can if we're willing to take the risk. I think we really have to take that risk.
Well, I think basically that's what it comes down to, Mike. You want to take the risk, and I really am not willing to. I don't feel I can afford to take the risk.
Oh, but what have I been doing for the last year? I've been looking for the new technology to really make this factory something special, and I think that this is what we need to do. I can't understand why you disagree with this. It's very clear.
And I think you've done a very good job. But I think that there are more disadvantages than advantages. I'm sorry, Mike, but I'm afraid that the decision just isn't going to go your way.
But what about his report tomorrow? Shouldn't we listen to his final proposal before we make a decision?
Oh, you're probably right. I want to be fair to him.
So do I.
下面我们继续讨论 Graham 女士和 Epstein 先生的谈话。
By the end of the conversation, Mr. Epstein does convince Ms. Graham to delay her final decision, at least until Mr. Blake presents his report.
That's right. They do reach a compromise. But Mr. Epstein has clearly lost the argument. And Ms. Graham seems to have made up her mind not to do business with Mr. Blake's company.
It certainly seems so. Let's take a short break. Welcome again to Culture Tips with Gary Angleton. Today, our email question is, in my country, it's very unusual for workers to disagree with their bosses. Why do American workers disagree so openly with their bosses?
Well, occasional disagreement between a boss and a subordinate is a sign of a good relationship in American companies.
Really?
Yes, it means that they respect each other enough to be honest. Americans tend to look down on a yes man.
What's a yes man?
That's a subordinate who always says yes to the boss. He or she agrees with the boss about everything. Maybe the subordinate wants to be promoted or get a better salary.
I don't like that kind of person.
I don't either. A company needs people who will disagree with a bad policy.
To avoid a big mistake?
Exactly. Of course, not all disagreement is constructive.
Constructive?
Disagreement is constructive if it contributes to the good of the company. A worker who disagrees with everything and never compromises can be very bad for a company.
That makes sense. Unless people come to some agreement, they cannot move forward together.
Exactly.
Thanks again, Gary, for your observations. Let's listen to today's business dialogue.
Steve, you can't just leave right now. You've got to give me at least 2 weeks' notice.
Arnold, I just can't take it anymore. The things we sell here are very poor quality, and the salespeople are not telling the truth about our products.
Eve, I know that there are problems, but I am trying hard to change things, and I need your help.
You always say that things are going to change, but nothing happens.
You're right that I've been slow to change things, but I just fired the director of sales.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Our new director is going to hire a new sales staff. All I'm asking for is 2 more weeks. By then, the new director of sales will be comfortable in his position.
All right. That sounds reasonable. I want to be fair.
I know that you do, Eve. You've always been fair to me.
Okay. I'll agree to stay 2 more weeks, but not a day more. I've already found another job.
Gary 提示。
Now it's time for Gary's Tips with Gary Engleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today, I'll be talking about coming to agreement or compromise. A compromise is when both people change their positions a little to reach an agreement. Today's business dialogue begins with a strong disagreement, but it ends with a compromise. Let's see how that happens. At first, Eve is very upset. And Arnold agrees that she has reasons to be upset. He says, I know that there are problems.
Arnold, I just can't take it anymore. The things we sell here are very poor quality, and the salespeople are not telling the truth about our products.
Eve, I know that there are problems, but I am trying hard to change things, and I need your help.
He continues to find points of agreement, using the expression, you're right.
You always say that things are going to change, but nothing happens.
You're right that I've been slow to change things, but I just fired the director of sales.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He asks her again to stay for 2 more weeks, and she agrees.
All I'm asking for is 2 more weeks. By then, the new director of sales will be comfortable in his position.
All right. That sounds reasonable.
We see the same pattern when Ms. Graham agrees to delay her decision until after the meeting with Mr. Blake.
Shouldn't we listen to his final proposal before we make a decision?
Oh, you're probably right. I want to be fair to him.
So do I.
Even though Mr. Epstein does not succeed in changing Ms. Graham's mind, he does convince her to wait 1 more day. I hope today's tips were helpful.
Thanks, Gary. Well, our time is up. Tune in again next time for Functioning in Business. See you then.
各位听众，今天这一课商务通英语就复习到这里。谢谢各位收听，我们下星期再见。
For further study, a Functioning in Business study kit is available from your local bookstore.
为了帮助学习，商务通英语备有课本和录音带，整套学习辅导材料，听众可以去本地的书店购买。
下面播报国际新闻。美国总统奥巴马表示，他相信如果塔纳德·川普当选总统，共和国将面临危险。奥巴马星期三在重要的摇摆州北卡罗来纳州为希拉里·克林顿站台助选。他说，他在2008年和2012年大选中从来没有觉得如果他输给了共和党对手麦凯恩或罗姆尼，共和国将面临危险。他告诉北卡罗来纳州的选民，不要松懈，不要认为自己手中的选票没用。北卡罗来纳州最新的民调显示，川普比克林顿略微领先。川普星期三在佛罗里达州竞选，他说奥巴马总统应该停止为希拉里·克林顿助选，回到白宫为美国创造就业，解决边境问题。他还抨击希拉里·克林顿电邮是水门事件以来最大的丑闻。对于联邦调查局决定重启调查他的电邮，希拉里·克林顿回应说这个案件根本不成立。恶劣天气星期三阻碍了联军进攻被伊斯兰国占领的重镇摩苏尔的脚步，同时一家援助机构警告说，随着摩苏尔的战斗加剧，当地平民陷入巨大的危险之中。挪威难民理事会的格雷斯曼说，我们正为最坏的可能做准备，120万平民的性命正处于极度危险之中，整个伊拉克的未来也处在千钧一发之际。这一援助组织表示，数以千计的平民已经逃离摩苏尔，还有很多民众被狙击手和爆炸物夺去了性命，仍在城中的百姓面临着食品、饮用水和医药短缺的困境。该组织认为，摩苏尔城的战事会让补给物资及其他人道主义物资更难进入城内，因此城内居民会面临更加严重的物资短缺。伊拉克特种部队星期二已经攻入摩苏尔城市市郊，收复这座伊拉克第二大城市的战斗在两个星期前打响。摩苏尔被伊斯兰国组织占领了已经两年多。五角大楼发言人戴维斯说，这是非常重要的里程碑，但仍需继续努力。五角大楼说，伴随伊拉克军队和库尔德敢死队的美军离摩苏尔前线只有不到两公里。他说，在摩苏尔周边村庄，伊斯兰国的顽抗程度各有不同。不过他警告说，不管伊斯兰国武装分子是逃跑还是抵抗，联军总是要应对土制炸弹的遗留问题。他说，最多仍有5000名伊斯兰国战斗人员仍然据守在摩苏尔城内。一名伊拉克将军说，伊拉克军队星期二占领了一座电台，接着当地刮起沙尘暴，导致当天的战斗行动终止。美联储决定将银行利率保持在近一年来的极度水平。美联储说，美国就业市场继续好转，家庭消费在上升，但是企业投资疲软。美联储在书面声明中说，提高利率的势头越来越强，但是美联储仍需要进一步的证据才会决定提高利率。通货膨胀率有所上升，不过仍然低于经济学家所说的对经济最有利的 2%。 美联储在经济衰退期间为了促进经济，将利率降低到创纪录的低水平。去年美联储将利率略微提高，但仍然处于不同寻常的低水平。美联储的下一次会议将于12月举行，许多投资者和经济学家们预计美联储届时将会小幅度的提高利率。分析人士认为，美联储或许是要等待大选造成的经济不确定性结束之后考虑提高利率。美国执法部门说，密西西比州一个非洲裔美国人教堂被纵火后涂上投川普一票，他们要把此案作为民权侵犯案件来调查。这家110年历史的浸礼会教堂在密西西比州格林维尔星期二夜间被纵火，教堂受到损害。该市市长西蒙斯星期三说，我们认为这是一起仇恨案件，其中的政治信息我们相信作案者是要干扰祈祷活动，恐吓选民。他说，联邦调查局和密西西比州警方在协助进行调查。格林维尔人口33000人， 78% 是非洲裔美国人。巴基斯坦港口城市卡拉奇星期四早晨发生火车相撞事故，卡拉奇的医院确认有11人死亡，50人受伤。国际新闻播报完了。
以下为您重播美国之音 VOA 卫视时事大家谈节目，因为是节目录音，请您不要拨打电话。
观众朋友晚上好，欢迎您收看 VOA 卫视11月2号星期三的时事大家谈，我是林峰。10月份以来，人民币对美元的汇率持续走低。10月27号，人民币对换美元的这个汇率跌至6.77，离岸人民币汇率甚至是一度跌破6.79，创下2010年以来最低的水平，年度跌幅达到了4.31%。中国央行副行长易纲表示，人民币不存在持续贬值的基础，但是也有分析认为，人民币对美元的汇率有可能会破7。人民币的汇率为何不断创下新低？是人为操纵还是经济表现不佳？未来人民币汇率将继续走低还是会触底反弹？人民币汇率走低是否会加剧资本外流？对中国经济和普通百姓的生活又会构成哪些的影响？今晚节目中为您邀请两位嘉宾进行讨论，一位是在演播室现场的家图研究所客座研究员，曾经在北京大学担任经济学教授的夏野良博士，欢迎夏教授。还有一位是通过 Skype 连线从美国新泽西州参与节目的中国经济社会学者何青莲女士，欢迎何女士。我们同时也欢迎观众听众朋友打电话参与今天节目的讨论，发表您的看法。我们的免费热线电话号码是400120051，400120051。那么您还可以通过 VOA 卫视在 YouTube 的网上直播收看并加入我们的现场讨论，我们的网址是 youtube.com/VOAChina。好的，现在先进入今天的这个讨论啊，夏教授，就是这个人民币贬值，实际上从2015年，也就是去年8月11号这个突然宣布汇率改革之后呢，就慢慢的开始了。但是到了10月份，特别是这个11长假以后，这个贬值的速度是突然就加大了。在您的看来，为什么会出现这样的情况呢？
现在从中国经济的整体状况以及外汇储备，和其他的一些指标来看，人民币贬值势在必行。我们知道中国的这个汇率啊，长期以来是有管理的浮动汇率制。也就是说，按照国外的说法呢，它是一种肮脏管理、肮脏汇率。那么应该把它过渡到这种完全由市场来调节的啊，就是自由浮动的这样汇率制。但直到今天，这个目标还没有实现。其中一个重要的原因呢，是人民币可自由兑换没有实现。资本账户的全面开放没有实现。过去呢是没有时间表，现在据说呢是有了一个初步的时间表，但是呢什么时候能够真正兑现还是个未知数。所以呢我们看到这个从过去的2年里边，人民币其实是一直在贬值。而且很多人的预期就是这个贬值的幅度将会加大，甚至是会加快。那么这个今年年底呢，我们看可能会到7，甚至有人这个很早就预言了说会破8，但是破8呢，今年看来是不会，怎么还剩下不到一个月的时间。所以呢，我想明年的上半年是不是会破8，这个让拭目以待。
好的，同样的问题也想请教这个何女士啊，您怎么看这个人民币在10月份这个贬值的速度是突然加速了，这个幅度越来越大呢？
是这样，过去一个月呢，美元呢确实是强劲。升值3%，人民币呢是贬值1.44%，那么这样一来就差距更大了。但是有一个奇怪的现象，中国呢确实是到现在为止从来没有承诺短期内实行清结浮动，就是完全由市场决定汇率，而是政府管控下的肮脏浮动啊。国际货币基金组织也没这个要求，因为形势早已经变了。美国是一个一直反对中国呢对这个汇率管控，国会呢一直要求也把这个中国列为这个汇率操纵国，但是美国财政部每年都没有答应，今年不但没有把这个中国呢列为这个汇率操纵国，反而从几个方面表扬了中国。第一，就是中国呢这一次贬值不是因为这个政府管控，而是这个市场压力。第二，就是如果没有中国政府的管理，可能人民币贬值会更快。第三，中国政府这一次没让人民币贬值过快，是不但是对中国经济稳定有好处，而且对世界经济稳定有好处。那么这是在什么背景下发生呢？是因为2014年到2015年 全世界主要货币呢都竞相贬值，只有美元呢非常强劲。这跟 G20 尤其是今年的二月份，就是 G20 十个国家在一起商定的那个货币协议完全不一样。大家都希望稳定各国货币汇率，但是后来大家也知道英国退欧还有其他的一系列原因，其他的货币呢都走弱，只有这个美元走强，这对世界各国经济都不利。在这个情况下呢，人民币相对稳定，让这些国家松了一口气。所以呢，有时候一件事情吧，说真的可能是要按照具体情况具体分析。像这个人民币贬值，其实呢从这个10年前我就讲过，它是一种这样的奇怪状态，就是对内贬值对外升值，这种加息压力啊不可能长久，所以人民币需要有一个回归真实价值的过程。这个真实价值就是按照这个人民币的实际购买力，有可能破8，我觉得是这样，但是呢短期内不会达到这个目标，如果要达到这个目标，全世界经济都会发生问题。
谢谢何女士。夏教授，就是这次这个人民币贬值，有人中国官方把它形容为是这个市场的力量，那么也有很多这个中国这个媒体还有这个经济人士，他认为是因为美元的这个走强，他把这个主要的责任是归咎于市场，还有是美元走强。那么您认为这回这个中国政府让人民币允许人民币贬值，它还有没有其他的这个战略的目的？是不是一种人为操纵的一种现象呢？
应该说，迄今为止，中国的汇率还是由这个政府操控的，但是呢，它在有些情况下，如果符合自己的这样的一个大的战略目标，那它可能会宽容啊。那么宽容的话，就会就是减少干预。但事实上呢，在过去的这一段时间里面，我们已经看出可以动用外汇储备去购买那么就是说，为了稳定这个人民币的本币这个币值，也做了一些努力。那么要讲市场因素的话，它实际上它是有一个波动范围的，就比如说这个每天的那个波动的幅度，波动超过2%或者1%，那么在过去是这样规定的，现在这个波动范围可能加大，那仍然还是在可操控的范围之内，那么至于讲到美元走强呢，我想这个其实美元这个是一个相对的，它的币值是由于世界各国对美国的这个经济的信心和这样对这样一个货币体系的这种信任，因为从美国经济本身来讲并不是那么好，那么现在的经济增长率还是低迷在1%左右，所以说如果要讲美国经济能够大幅度的提升，假如说达到3%-4%，那么美元走强是具有这个内在的这样一个说服力，而现在呢它其实只是一个相对而言，因为由于欧盟经济不振，再加上中国经济现在连续的衰退，所以在这种情况下，美元相对倒显得虽然没有很高的增长率，但是还保持了一个稳定的低增长状态。所以呢，从这个角度来讲的话，说美元走强是可以找出一点理由的，但是最关键是由于中国自己的经济出现了大的问题。
好，那么接下来想请教何女士啊，就是刚才我们谈到这个政府操纵这个汇率的这个情况，那么有的这个分析认为，这个中国政府为了维护这个维持人民币汇率的稳定呢，是动用大量的这个外汇储备。那么有一种说法就是说，中国九月份外汇储备下降了187.9亿美元。那么您认为这个中国政府在为了维护这个人民币这个汇率的稳定，是不是动用了这么大的这个外汇储备？那么除此之外，还有没有其他的方法去维护这个人民币的这个币值不会贬得太快呢？
其实中国政府呢，为了维护这个人民币不贬值，已经动用了一切力量，外汇市场呢加强管理，所以呢，像这一个月只减少了180亿，那已经是幅度相当小了。市场上呢，流传说有的人连1美元都取不出，后来又有人解释说是取不出的原因是因为这个人已经违规上了黑名单。如果没上黑名单呢，那还是可以取出来的，尤其是在一些外国公司比较集中的地段，就是那些什么呢银行啊，他要维持自己信誉还是比较容易取到。这些消息呢，因为我没有亲自到中国市场上去体验，反正就大概人云亦云。但是有一件事，就是中国政府上个月 取消了银联卡在香港兑现，
嗯，
那么就又减少了一个外汇流出的轨道。我简单解释一下银联卡是什么意思。银联卡呢是中国官方允许的一种异地支付的一种方式啊。那么就是你在中国呢办了银联卡，就可以到香港去取出相应的那个港币或者美元。很多人就利用这种方法呢，就到外面投资或者购买那种呢将来可以交付一点发现就取出来的保险金。那么过去这几年来一直是中国资本外流的一种主要方式，现在彻底堵死了这条路，可见中国政府呢还是那个啊，还是很在意这个事情。那么我想说一句的就是大家说中国到底是不是政府管控这个汇率，中国政府确实管控，这点夏衍良先生刚才也说得很清楚。不是市场压力，大家要考虑的是为什么美国财政部要来帮中国辩护，是市场压力，这点才是最有趣的地方。
好的，我们这个线上已经有不少的听众观众朋友打进了热线电话，那么就先接听几位。那么第一位是山西的福先生，山西的福先生您好。山西的福先生
啊，我可以说了哈。
好，请讲。
我想说的是，上一个话题我还没来得及参与，我想说的是，其实中国大陆这个政府啊根本就不希望统一，因为制度不一样。
山西福先生，我们现在讨论的话题是人民币的这个贬值的问题，
也不可能再进行内定制了。
好的，请您就对人民币贬值的话题你有什么看法呢？
那人民币贬值，它每回它都是那个什么，都是每次宣布的时候，是当时就生效，并不是说是啊，像房地产那样是提，也预计说是月底啊，或者十天以后，或者是半个月以后就实施，而是当时说生效就立即生效。是对于那些他们内部人来说，他们是提前通知了的，提前了五天或者十天通知了，然后，某一天突然宣布一升值或者一贬值，他们的手里的美元或人民币就来回炒作。就瞬间他们就把这个钱挣了，这是对普通老百姓来说根本就没有任何好处，对他们权贵来说是大大的有利。
好的，谢谢山西福先生
说这一点，
谢谢您。那么接下来一位是浙江的许先生，浙江许先生您好。
哎，主持人好，嘉宾好。
你好，请讲。
我说中国政府在这个人民币管控方面都是有问题的。不管善良不正善良，我从这个一些四县以下的这个好像是乡镇村信用服务站都是这样子的，利用这个金钱来贷款高利贷，以前是不允许的，按这个法律来说是不允许的，到后来他随意拿这个钱不存进去的可以存进去的钱可以拉回来，可以赚上利润的利息的。一个高利贷，第二个人民的利息不给人的人民汇率钱的。还有一个贷款方面的，他贷款贷了多几十万几千万的。他可以吃回扣的。
好的，谢谢谢谢浙江的许先生。我们今天讨论的话题还是关注在这个人民币这个贬值的问题上。那么接下来一位是天津的刘先生，天津的刘先生您好。
喂，主持人好，嘉宾好。
您好，请讲。
关于这个汇率问题，我只想说两点。第一啊，这个汇率啊，我想它下降应该是跟这个腐败有一定的联系，因为这个汇率下降本身就是一种通货膨胀的表现，这是第一点。第二点，我想请教一下那个夏教授，这个汇率下降会不会变成这个国内的这个革命的这个运动？我说的这个革命运动就是，例如出现了打房豪分房产这种现象，有没有可能？我就问这个问题，谢谢。
谢谢天津刘先生。夏教授，您回应一下
这个问题很有意思。首先呢，这个汇率就人民币持续贬值，当然会造成这个国内严重的通货膨胀的压力。那么现在很多中国国民希望把资产向海外转移，如果没有转移的可能的话，他们也是想把手中的一部分人民币兑换成美元存起来。当然我们知道，现在就是存美元的话，它的利率极低。那么主要是老百姓担心 这个人民币大幅度贬值以后，它的购买力显著下降，所以用这个方法来进行部分的保值。还有人是想购买黄金啊或其他的一些资产，
嗯，
但是呢我们看这不是一个长久之计，因为这个人民币持续贬值的原因，主要的原因还在于中国经济的低迷，而低迷的原因呢又是由于这个逆市场化的方向，因为过去这几年是倒退，不是朝着市场化方向这个迈进，而是呢像越来越多的像计划回归，所以呢企业家信心不足啊，老百姓对未来没有这个很好的预期啊，这很多的原因都形成了。刚才他问的这个问题，说会不会引起这个，比如说大家一些激烈的反应的话，我想，虽然你心中有怨愤，但是呢，在中国这种强大的国家机器的压制下，一般的老百姓也没有办法反抗。你就是上街去举着标语喊口号，一会儿就被警察带走了。所以呢，很多老百姓是敢怒而不敢言。所以目前的状况是这样。
好的，那个何女士，就是刚才我们也有两位这个听众观众朋友的问题，就谈到了这个腐败的问题，还有这个投机的问题，认为就是说有这个内线炒作呀，什么官方操作啊，您怎么看这种看法呢？
啊，内线炒作呢，其实主要是知道这个消息的人，这些人呢要做也早就做了，那么就是目前呢最多是帮助一些亲友在做。倒是有一个问题，其实国际社会现在比较关心，就是今年上半年呢，中国这个就是中国这个人民币吧，汇率在贬值压力，导致了很多资金外流。去年呢，上半年是300亿美元流往这个海外并购市场，那么今年上半年呢，就多了将近1000亿，多了将近1000亿，在这个情况下呢，就是海外并购压力蛮大的。给海外并购市场带来一个什么呢？就是很多人并不想把企业卖给中国人，但是呢，他把这个中国人拉进来作为自己抬价的一种手段，这个方法还很见效，所以呢，很多人在抱怨说，由于中国吧，发行了太多的货币，占了这个世界几大国货币发行总量的1半以上，然后呢，这么多钱在国内呢憋着出不来。就形成这个国际大宗商品涨价，还有包括各方面的东西都涨价，在这个情况下呢，给世界带来了一些压力，所以呢，其实国际社会关心的是这个。至于他讲的那个腐败吧，我觉得流出来只是把这个钱变现的一种手段，它不是腐败的源头，是腐败资金或者其他各种办法来聚集的财产变现的一种手段。
嗯。谢谢。那么网上也有一些这个听众观众就是问提出一些问题哈，有一位叫 Brian 刘的这个通过网上提出的问题，就是想请教夏教授您回应一下。他说这个人民币贬值，我们上周讨论这个中国的这个房地产市场，他问人民币贬值是不是要放弃汇率而保这个楼市，您怎么看？
这个之间呢没有这种直接的关联性，那不是说让那个人民币本币大幅度贬值就能保证楼市，这没有这个道理。那么可能有人讲，就是说现在老百姓的投资的渠道或者投资的方向是什么？如果股市不能够有希望的话，那就是往楼市里面投。往楼市里投的一个部分思考呢，是由于它能够保值。说是什么保值呢？就是说它至少不是大幅度的在贬值。那么楼市如果它增值的话，就算是有人民币贬值的因素在内，它会抵消一部分。可能从这个角度上考虑来讲，投资楼市呢，也是对人民币贬值的一种反应，或者是一种保护性的措施。
嗯，好，还有一个问题想请教何青莲女士啊。何女士，有这位网友叫 Ed Troy， 他经常参加我们这个节目，也发出他的问题啊。他就说，这个人民币已经进入这个国际货币基金组织这个 SDR 货币篮子哈。他说，如果出现不可控的波动，那么其他货币当局也不会坐视不管。那么就他的问题就是说，人民币的定价基础是否出现了动摇，人民币下跌会不会引起周边货币的这个连锁反应？
刚才其实我已经谈得很清楚，大家要记住一条，中国加入这个 SDR 其实是有一个先决条件的，是国际货币基金组织为中国特别修改了规则，就是不要求中国呢放开汇率管制，所以呢，就是在这个情况下呢，中国今年就算是正式加入，也没放弃这一点。而且刚才我谈得很清楚，今年2月， 就是G20，就十个工业大国在这个上海签订了一个协议，这个协议就是大家不能让自己的货币竞相贬值了。所以在这个情况下，中国政府管控货管控汇率，不让人民币过快的贬值，反而符合这些国家的利益。所以呢，这个外汇市场吧，说老实话是个瞬息万变，大家一定要参考很多国际因素，不要单纯的只根据自己需要。另外我补充一句，刚才前面那位先生问夏野良先生呢，说是不是放开汇率就可以保证楼市啊？
嗯，
其实放开汇率，中国的楼市立刻就下跌，因为如果放开汇率，大家可以自由兑换，钱都汇流出去，不汇流到这个楼市里去，那么楼市的价格本来是靠钱抬起来的，那么钱走了它就会下跌。
好的，
关于 SDR 我也补充几句，因为现在这个中国在这个里边所占的份额是第三位啊，仅次于这个美国和欧盟，那么它这个比重呢是10.92，如果人民币大幅度贬值的话，那么实际上是对整个国际货币基金组织呢，它的这个资产质量会带来这个一种潜在的威胁，那么我们想就是说，现在它加入这个加入这个组织的好处啊，加入这个可特别提款权的好处是什么呢？就是说它的要求一些公开透明的方面，而且有一些约束性的措施，可能就是说在这个方面呢，中国需要更多的跟这个国际货币基金组织来配合啊，在货币政策方面要有一些有所顾忌，不像过去是完全是自己说了算，是吧？那么还有呢，就是说在这个未来，比如说人民币假如说出现了严重的贬值的状态的时候，还有一个方式是可以动用特别提款权进行一些市场化的干预啊。
还有就是刚才我们也提到了这个人民币贬值可能会加剧资本外流的这个情况，那您认为如果持续贬值的话，是不是会加剧这个资本外流的情况呢？
这个一般情况是会比如说这个根据彭博社的报道，去年已经流出了10000亿这个美元，10000亿美元这个资本外逃呢，它当然除了这个官方渠道，还有这个民间的或者地下的通道，那么这个现在看来这个趋势是非常令人震惊的如果这样流下去的话，那显然的话就是用脚投票，那中国经济又会遭受更大的问题，所以呢，如果要是讲它贬值的幅度过大的话那资本外逃没有来得及实现的一些个人或者是企业的话，它也会有所顾忌，因为那样的话资产缩水太多所以说在目前还不是幅度特别大的情况下，资本外逃是有意义的。如果要是讲连续贬值10%以上或者更高，那可能就是说对于有些人来说他要考虑这个损失。
能不能最后让您非常简短的给这个中国的这个听众观众朋友提个建议，这个在人民币贬值的情况下这个应该怎么办呢？
那就是说刚才有些人说的一部分货币换成美元就以防这个大幅度的贬值，就是说这个人民币贬值的幅度太大，还有呢就是买一些其他的那个保值的产品所以这个东西也没有办法说，那特别是对于有些孩子在美国留学的话，那他实际负担就加重了，他这个是没办法减损。
那何女士您有什么建议给中国的这个投资者怎么来保值？
拥有3000万人民币财产以上的人呢，可以把房子变现，有条件就到美国别的地方呢去购买房产。至于房金这个东西啊，波动太大，就像最近美国大选，就严重的影响了这个货币市场和这个房金市场。只要有一点消息，立刻就暴跌。所以我觉得大家买到异国买房子是比较好的。
好的，那么由于的时间的关系呢，今天时大家谈的讨论呢，只能就到这里就结束了。非常感谢夏野良和何青莲两位参加今天节目的讨论。时大家谈是一个自由的论坛，嘉宾和听众观众发表的都是个人观点，不代表美国之音。以上就是今天时大家谈的全部内容。明天时大家谈节目将关注上海启动的好人法条例，请您在北京时间晚上9点到10点准时锁定 VOA 卫视收听收看，并踊跃参加节目的讨论。我是林峰，祝您晚安。